What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's the Fightful Select Q&A show coming at you a day early. I'll be out of the office on Friday, but we still got news coming for you guys. We got plenty of stuff to talk about today. Just a reminder, if you're new here, just because you don't get your question answered doesn't mean that it's wasted. We use these to craft what we're going to ask about in the future. So let's go ahead, jump into it. Idris says, is LA Knight the lead to win Money in the Bank? Well, his reaction surprised even some people backstage. Like, they can clearly tell guy's getting over, he's doing better. I think he should be in consideration, but this is something I've had to reiterate. Last year, there were rumors that LA Knight was the pick, was the plan to win Money in the Bank, and it was reiterated to me from every creative contact I've ever had as of January that hadn't even been discussed as of yet. Now, there is a very, very good possibility that they saw the positive buzz surrounding that, and the groundswell of support that he's developed is undeniable. Like, the guy is so undeniably good on that microphone, and I think he can hold his own in the ring, and he's got this unique charisma that maybe they looked at it and they said, hell yeah, let's do the thing. Or they could use it to get heat on somebody else and develop a story out of that. But I'm very interested to see how Triple H books his first Money in the Bank winners, because on the women's side of things, we've never seen one since Carmella hold the Money in the Bank for longer than like a day, a full day. And then on the men's side of things, well, the way that he booked the Austin Theory thing, I don't think was great. Even though he didn't pick Austin Theory, he was booking by then, so he could have done any number of things. Samantha says, do you have any updates on the contract status of the Elite? I know AEW is pushing pretty hard, but I haven't heard of an update. Mark D says, when do you think AEW will announce their streaming deal? And I got a lot of people asking about all-in broadcast plans. That's being discussed between WBD and AEW currently. Like, they're having ongoing discussions about where things will air, how they can do it, the money involved, and all that. And there were also people that asked on this Q&A, said, so was the news a couple weeks ago that WBD had reached a $1 billion deal with AEW just false reporting? I was really hoping that AEW content would have been a part of the Max launch. Well, I think WBD might have hoped that AEW content was a part of the Max launch as well, but I'm not a part of those conversations, so I can't necessarily say what is happening. I can tell you that the numbers that I have heard are likely what the deal would be if it was a new deal for Collision, Rampage, Dynamite, and possibly pay-per-views on Max as well. And that's when I heard that figure being thrown around. Not necessarily like, oh, just for Collision or anything like that. They're not going to get that much just for Collision, unless it's like a 10-15 year deal or something. Because like, that's what WWE gets for SmackDown and Raw, some of the most highly rated shows on cable TV. However, collectively, we're talking two primetime shows, Rampage, exclusivity of AEW content, as well as pay-per-views. Yeah, I think it's possible that they get $1 billion over the course of the deal. Darren says, what was the match that made you a wrestling fan? Mine was Orton and Foley. I can tell you the specific shots that made me a wrestling fan, and I don't know at what point I saw it. It was probably on a delay or a tape or something like that, but I was watching TV, and I see Ric Flair standing on the top of one rope inside a cage, and I saw Great Muta on the other end of the cage. Now, I've narrowed that down to Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson, and Flair against Gary Hart International, which is Buzzsaw, Your Dragon Master, and Great Muta, Clash of the Champions, Texas Shootout. But I also saw Sting climbing up a cage, and I just saw all these colors, and I go, oh my God, what is this? I gotta watch this. It could have possibly been also like Sting and Ric Flair against the Great Muta and Terry Funk, I guess, like years later. But those are the ones that I saw, like specifically Sting and Great Muta were the reasons why I looked at wrestling and I was like, I got to watch this. Any updates on Goldberg to AEW? When I would ask people that know him, they just said, maybe. He's been in talks with a lot of places, including the place at Israel that I actually helped connect Goldberg to over recent months, where they wanted to bring him in for a potential match. But I know that Tony Khan has talked to his representatives. It's about the extent of it I have. Have AJ, along with Gallows and Anderson, made amends with Paul Heyman regarding their 2020 release? So I haven't heard that they've made amends, but I've told that them operating on a more friendly plane with Paul Heyman has been happening, and there doesn't seem to be the same ill will that there was before. Sean, any feel for what kind of cuts will happen before July in WWE? Do you think it's more squashing things like their production wing? I haven't heard of cuts, period. Yeah, I haven't heard of it. We haven't reported it. I just haven't heard of it. Is there any update on WWE allowing talent to use and self-promote on Twitch and Patreon? I don't know about Patreon. Now, last year around WrestleMania, I actually got the call right before me and Denise did the clusterfuck for GCW. I was told that there were relaxed rules on the third-party situations, and that would include Twitch eventually. I confirmed a couple months ago when we ran on Select that there was a Twitch partnership that would be announced. They finally announced it this past week. Twitch not getting a lot of great publicity this week for obvious reasons with changes that they're making. However, I feel like this is being done that way WWE can gain a little bit more goodwill, a little bit more negotiating power. If none of them have Twitch, it's not a negotiating tool for anybody. But if they come to an agreement with Twitch, the talent gets to keep the majority, Twitch gets their cut, and WWE gets a negligible percentage, well, that keeps the talent happy, it's a negotiating tool, and it makes WWE at least a little bit of money. So otherwise, it doesn't benefit anybody, but now it benefits everybody at least a little bit. When Cody's contract is up, what percent chance do you give him on returning to AEW when it retires or when it expires? So I do not have information on when it expires. I was just told it wasn't frozen, and I think it's probably about a 15% chance that he goes back. Have you spoken to any of the AEW talent who said that they would walk out if Punk returned? No, but I have spoken to people who talked to people who said that, and that has certainly changed, and they feel as if AEW has done all right in sort of splitting that up. Has there been any interest from AEW or WWE in free agent Richard Holiday? A bit, yeah. I mean, WWE talks about a lot of people and talks to a lot of people. They just haven't hired a lot of people. Do you have any news on a possible Australian PLE? Yeah, I do. There were officials that met with WWE in Australia recently. Now, I do want to clarify that the newspaper article claiming that it was going to be WrestleMania, that is not true whatsoever. Is Kenny Omega coming back from Japan with a certain someone? Yeah, that's the plan. I mean, okay, I should say that. I should say I've heard that was the plan, but I mean, plans change. Has Vince's opinion of Gunther changed? I had never heard the same thing that WrestleVotes had, and that doesn't mean that it wasn't true, because Vince McMahon could have told people that I talked to one thing, and then on another day when Vince likes him, he could have talked to people that WrestleVotes talks to, and that's how that emerges. But I had always heard that he rather liked Gunther whenever he, especially after he leaned out. Any info on Adam Cole's health? He looks weaker and smaller every week. His outing with Jericho at Double or Nothing really didn't do anything to hide this fact. So, I mean, Adam Cole leaned out an awful lot when he went to NXT, and that's because there was less of an emphasis put on being big there. I can tell you from personal experience, I've had the misfortune of having a broken neck and a serious concussion, and the serious concussion had more negative impact on my physique and ability to do things long-term than the neck did. Because there are some days when you are going to feel great and you feel like, hell yeah, I can go back, I can bump, I can work out, I can run ropes, I can do anything like that. Then the moment you hit the ropes or the moment you bump, the room spins or your vision isn't quite good, or maybe the light in the gym starts to give you a headache as a result of that. You can't ride in vehicles. There are certain smells that are accelerated and make you sick to your stomach. I can't speak to any of that for him. I can only tell you what I went through, and it was a lot tougher to deal with that. Is Jushin Thunder Liger retired or taking very limited bookings? He is retired. Tony Khan just wants him for the ceremony. Any Danhausen updates? When I talked to Danhausen a couple months ago at Squared Circle Expo, he was in good spirits. He was still trying to make his appearances and all that, but he was not that upset that he got to spend a little more time with his family, and he wanted to be on TV when he could wrestle because he felt like he didn't want to become just a person who was on TV and never wrestled. How is Ryback perceived by the boys and girls? He seems like a hassle. I haven't heard anybody talk about him in years. Like, I mean, from inside wrestling. Any more info when, where Braun and Rollins will happen? I just assumed it was NXT, but I don't know that for sure. Wow, I got the hiccups during a show again. My God. Any interesting news or names, matches on the women's side of things for Forbidden Door? I will just say this, because we are going to have reports both today and Friday about this. They're trying. They're trying. And they have been trying. They've been trying for a long time. What's going on with Marty Scurll? Heard any rumors of him signing with New Japan, AEW, or WWE? Absolutely not. None of them want to sign him. He's been backstage at AEW sporadically in the past, over the past number of years. Like, he's still got friends there. He has not been around at WWE that I've heard of. He popped up backstage at a New Japan show, and they had planned on using him once, and then they decided, based on the reaction, that was not going to happen. How do you think they should handle Collision during pay-per-view weekends? Well, listen, I'm going to be incredibly biased by that. I think that they should just never run Sunday pay-per-views, because I am a massive football fan, and football is my respite from pro wrestling, as much as I love pro wrestling. And I'm looking at that schedule right now, and I see a Bengals primetime game the same Sunday night that the Jags have an off week. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, you sons of bitches. I know that I'm going to be sitting at Paycor Stadium that night. I'm going to be having a fill-in. I'll be tweeting scoops from my season ticket seat there. I don't want them to ever, ever run Sundays. That's just how I feel. Personal convenience. From a business aspect, they say that Sundays do better, but they don't want to compete with the NFL. However, here's the difference. If they come to a deal with WBD where they have monthly pay-per-views, well, that's once a month they're competing with the NFL. As things stand, it is just one time per football season they compete with the NFL, and then maybe one or two Saturdays. If I, Sean Ross Sapp, had my way, they would do Collision from either 7 to 8 or 6 to 8 before pay-per-views, or they would move it to Thursdays or Fridays. It would get preempted in that sense. I don't think I could get that lucky. Any news on when Charlotte's returning, what her next plans could be? Well, she's got a movie that she's filming in Louisville this month, so it won't be anytime soon. You mentioned SummerSlam women's matches. I look at Trish and Becky as one that's probably going to happen there. Hi, SRS. Any information on the location of Survivor Series? Do you think they'll go international for that show as well? This is just a hunch, but I think that there's probably a reason they haven't announced anything past August. I think they're waiting until closer to those dates. That way they have a better idea of creative, because when you look at how their shows are laid out throughout the year, you have your stadium shows and your Saudi shows, and those are going to, I'm not going to say they're going to sell themselves, but the buzz surrounding them, WWE is very good at making their events seem huge. But then there are two other shows. There was the Montreal Elimination Chamber show, which was originally going to be a Saudi show. Then it wasn't because of storyline plans. Then there was Backlash in Puerto Rico that surrounded storyline plans. So I think that what they're doing is strategically planning these events and maximizing the buzz surrounding them, where you can make more money off of a live gate, because they're breaking all kinds of records in that sense. Cody Rhodes has helped an incredible amount with that, but I think they're looking at who will be a prime featured talent in that situation, and who else do we have from that area that we can maximize. That's what I would assume they're doing. Raw this week seemed like a reset, and the wrestlers felt like they had a new sense of urgency. Even Ronda was good on the mic and sold well. Do people backstage look at the show with Seth defending the title on Raw for the first time as a reboot? The video package talents featured made me feel that way. Thanks for all the hard work, Sean. Well, it's fun work. That's what it is, and I appreciate you guys for chatting with us. But I can tell you there are just a wealth of talent on WWE Raw that are happy, ecstatic, over the moon, positive morale surrounding the idea that there is a championship and something for them to compete for on WWE Raw. Now, we've also got somebody asking, has anybody in WWE voiced the displeasure of using canned crowd audio during live broadcasts? And the answer to that is yes. I have several talent that tell me that they don't like it, and not only that, they especially don't like it because they don't know when it's being piped in. And when they don't know what's being piped in, they don't know when to talk over something as if, for example, Dominic's out there. He's getting a lot of real heat. They have canned it here and there, but by and large, he's getting real heat. And you can tell that because he's trying to talk over it and based on his reactions. It's more difficult for the talent to react to something that they don't know is there, and they don't know where to change their voice levels. Whereas when you've got that actual live crowd doing that, you're able to talk to their level. Sean says, do you know when JR's contract expires? Any idea if he'll be on the announce team for Collision? I don't know if he'll be on the announce team for Collision, but I know that a big thing that Jim Ross wanted to do was make it to 2024. That way he could have 50 years in the business. Now, his current contract, as best I've heard, will allow that. I know that he extended his contract in, I think, the spring of 2022. And, his original deal was a 3-year deal. And I feel like this one was a 2-year deal. But don't quote me on that. Whereas Allie / the Bunny, she's sidelined. Do you have a favorite Iron Sheik story? I never got to meet the Iron Sheik. I met family members of him. Or at least those that had been so close to him that they were considered family for a long time, as recently as Squared Circle Expo. The people who ran his account, I wouldn't say that they tried to recruit me. Maybe they I don't know what the motivation was, but I met with them at one point, and Jimmy had been like, side-eyeing it because he's aware of them. But they are certainly wrestling business type of guys, and they found a way to maximize revenue for both themselves and Iron Sheik and Virgil. I suspect that one of them was the person that was feeding Virgil answers in his ear when we did our interview. But that's the limit of my experience directly with Iron Sheik. I can tell you I learned more about Iran by learning about the Iron Sheik than I did in my high school, which I don't know what that says about my education, but I actually went and learned a little bit about Iranian history due to that. But he was before my time, unfortunately. Gimmick Battle Royal was about the limit of the experience I had with him. Are AEW performers worried about the ticket sales situation? Do you think it will affect booking? I don't think it'll affect booking. No, I haven't heard of any concerns because All In is selling so incredibly well and Forbidden Door sold so incredibly well. I don't think that their weekly show is a hot ticket, but their big events are a pretty hot ticket, especially in relatively untouched markets. Could the less than stellar ticket sales for the Collision shows imply that perhaps people aren't as excited to see CM Punk as they once were? Is it possible a good chunk of people soured on him after Brawl Out and aren't willing to pay to see him as much anymore? Well, certainly some people did sour on him after Brawl Out. Absolutely they did. I can't speak to whether or not that's necessarily the case for this. I can tell you that WWE has done some really, really good business for their live event super shows. But you've got Colorado Springs doing 4,000. Now, granted, the local NBA team is in the NBA Finals, and a game was on right opposite of that. So that was unfortunate timing all around for them. But I wouldn't put that all on CM Punk. There are a whole bunch of other people that are on that show that need to be booked a little bit better. That way they can be live draws as well. With Seth and Ospreay tweeting at each other again, has the possibility of a match happening increased, or is it still unlikely? Well, it's completely unlikely and nearly impossible, at least until early next year. Will Ospreay's contract is up early next year. He is going to look at his options. I know that he's going to at least look at his options, even though he has said he thinks that he and New Japan can reach a deal. However, there are a lot of things that can happen between now and then. Will there still be a freeze Will the freeze be up? Will they still be talking to talent? They've talked to Aussie Open, they being WWE, talked to Aussie Open, they talked to Jay White, they talked to Tama Tonga, but no deal was made for any of them. Jay White went to AEW, Aussie Open went to AEW, Tama Tonga's back doing New Japan stuff. What will happen with NXT Europe? Well, Ospreay has told me on numerous occasions he doesn't want to live in the States. He doesn't have anything against the States. It's just really big. It gives him anxiety. He knows himself. He knows where he's happy, and he's happy living where he's always lived. And I respect him a great deal for being willing to say that, admit that, and you know, probably hurt his negotiating a little bit as a result of that. However, what happens with NXT Europe? Like, are they going to try to become something more massive than NXT UK? Are they going to look at that and say, okay, well, we need to hire some honest-to-God draws in that area, and that will allow him to stay home, make nearly the same salary, maybe work a better schedule, maybe tell people, maybe Will Ospreay could coach some people, man. He could absolutely coach some people on the benefits and detriments of that style and how he's had to adjust. There's a lot of stuff that can happen between now and then, and if for some reason NXT Europe makes a big play for him, well, it could absolutely happen. Do you see a double turn in the future if Punk faces MJF again? I think MJF, whenever his title run is over, is probably going to be poised for a babyface turn. But the way that I've always looked at it, and maybe Punk is this guy, I always thought it would be cool to see somebody try to out motherfucker MJF, for lack of a better term. Pardon the language. But somebody comes in and they're such an absolute piece of garbage, such a diabolical son of a bitch, that everybody in AEW is like, well, we would rather deal with the piece of garbage that we know in MJF, and there's only one guy that we know that can topple the diabolical piece of shit that arrives, right? And maybe Punk could be that guy. I think he could absolutely pull it off if need be, but I think something like that could happen for sure. Any word on whether crew performers are expecting Punk to apologize to the locker room on June 17th? Yeah, there are a lot of people that expect that to happen. I can't say whether or not it will happen. He has certainly expressed a willingness to do that regarding the scrum, but I can't say that it's going to happen, but people do expect it. Do you think the WWE style hurts talent away from WWE, or is it a positive? Well, the WWE style has become less of a WWE style in recent years, and I'll tell you one instance that I thought was very interesting. When people acted like Bryan Danielson was not going to be able to keep up with the AEW style because he had been working the WWE style. And I thought about that and I was like, well, did you not see his history in WWE? And did you not watch his work before that? His WWE style was actually sped up pretty significantly from what you would see in ROH before that. Like, it was way faster. It was way more of a torrid pace. His schedule was advanced a lot more, which now they do these Super Show live events. The schedule is much easier than it was years and years ago when they were doing dual live events. I think that the WWE style is more about cameras and letting things breathe than it is being able to work a certain pace or doing certain moves. Any guess on where All Out will take place? I keep hoping somewhere in Texas. We had reported that the plan was the United Center at All Out. ASRS, I know Sting doesn't want gold. Can you inquire to himself or his camp about what he does want? His fans want him on screen more. Well, he is going to be on screen more. He's involved in this program with Swerve and the Mogul affiliates, Embassy. They got six names. But I had heard there were some tentative plans for him to be involved in that program. I mean, Darby told me straight up, Sting does not want to be a champion. He doesn't want to take that from other people. I would kind of really love that. I would, there are some things that I would really, really enjoy seeing. And some of that is Sting feeling like he's going to lose it. I would love to see Dynamite go off the air with Brian Cage hitting a buckle bomb on Sting. And you see, like, Darby tending to Sting, Brian Cage just standing over Sting, and even Swerve is like, man, what did you do? like Swerve is such a diabolical piece of shit that even he wouldn't think about doing something like that. I'm actually very, very excited about this feud, getting Nick Wayne involved, Sting involved, Darby Allin involved, all that. What's up with Eric Young? I should be finding out soon. Something weird is up, man. He's been signed for 7 or 8 months, and they haven't used him. Are WWE still interested in a physical Hall of Famer museum, or are the items being bought on Most Wanted Treasures to show at the Mania Superstore? They're being bought to be shown at things like that. I haven't heard any discussion about a physical Hall of Fame since before Vince, quote-unquote, retired. So I haven't heard anything on that since then. Are there any jumps in one wrestling company to another you didn't expect to ever happen that did? Two examples for me: Bryan going from WWE to AEW is something I didn't think that would happen, considering he headlined Mania that year. I thought that could possibly happen. I definitely did. I figured that Bryan looked at this and he, WWE medical, you know, he felt like he had been done enough to get cleared, and that they were sort of holding him back from that. AEW has had him sidelined at times, but I know it's a little more loose in that regard, but I thought that maybe he wanted to sort of test himself in that sense, and moving to AEW was the hot thing then. Then you say also Cody being founder and EVP, or AEW jumping to WWE. Yeah, that's the big one. That's the big one that shocked me. And I've got another Q&A question right here where somebody says, thinking on the shocking PGA-LIV merger, what's been the most out-of-nowhere blockbuster story in recent memory to you? Well, that one. That one's been the most shocking to me, was Cody Rhodes going to AEW. And one day, much like I did with the CM Punk story here, a year afterwards, I covered it about how it happened, how I found out about it, without burning sources. But man, I can tell you guys that I worked directly with John Alba on some of this stuff. And we were trying to figure out these ominous messages that I was being sent, because in a situation like this, nobody wants to be the first one to say that to you, but they want to tell you some stuff's happening. And I'll never forget, somebody high up in AEW said, shit's about to hit the fan. And I had asked them about Cody and his contract before that, because I'd gotten a little tip. And then I asked around from people, and I said, is this a good thing or is it a bad thing? And about two or three people said, well, it depends on who you ask. And then immediately, me and John Alba at the same time were just like, that's Cody Rhodes. In AEW, that's Cody Rhodes. That's how you respond to a Cody Rhodes. Which is wild, because when I would ask WWE people about him, it was universal praise. So that was by far the most shocking one. And I'll tell you, one of the most shocking things about that story, that again, we'll go into detail on whenever I do this podcast, we had broke the news that Stone Cold Steve Austin was coming out of retirement to wrestle a match for the first time in 19 years. Relatively speaking, it got completely swallowed up by the Cody story. The Steve Austin retirement thing, or out of retirement thing, did 5 to 10% of the business for us that the Cody Rhodes thing did. Just unbelievable interest. And because of that, that's when I said, okay, he's worth every penny that they're going after him for. Because if they're doing that kind of business for Fightful, what the hell kind of business is he going to do for WWE? And as we see, very good business. Get fired up talking about these stories, man. I love chasing down wrestling news. With the recent positive momentum Impact has had recently, have they actually made any money for Anthem? That's okay, so that's subjective, because they save them spending money on TV shows. They're low cost to produce, but they're in-house. I'm still trying to find this out. With Stu Grayson turning, who do you think could be added to the Dark Order? Are they dead in the water? I could see Colt Cabana being re-added to the Dark Order. I think that would make a lot of sense. If they are going to be on, I would imagine they're going to stay on Dynamite. I would imagine that Colt Cabana could be re-added to that group. I say why not. Anna Jay's moved on. I think she'll be involved with Jack Perry. Preston Vance, I could see him being re-added at some point. Alan Angels is doing his own thing in Impact, and he is doing an incredible job. But I think they could kind of go back. But I think sort of a lost soul being involved with the Dark Order would be nice. I think that some semblance of leadership would be cool. I wouldn't mind seeing like a Sean Spears or somebody like that. Just see how it works. Do you think Dragunov is the one to dethrone Gunther yet again? No, I said this the first go around with Gunther. I'll say this, and I say this about Roman Reigns. It's TBA till you find the right person. However, WWE found two right people for Roman and didn't pull the trigger. CM Punk and FTR are often held in high regards by folks who hate AEW and bad faith media types as some sort of outsiders, proving the show is terrible without them and the elite are the worst. Is there actually any money to be made by having this such a major part of the company? It seems like people really enjoyed the idea that the company was seen as the main babyface, which hasn't been the case since the influx of ex-WWE guys coming out of the pandemic. Yeah, there is some money to be made by this additional show. WBD wanted it. They saw it as a good opportunity. And it's going to result in a lot of money for them. So yeah. Guys, I want to thank you all so much for joining me. Until next time, we're out.